You're listening to Trinity Fremont's Sermon Podcast, where you can hear God's Word preached each and every week. Our purpose at Trinity is to raise up Christ followers in our families and in our communities. We pray that as you listen to this week's sermon, you'll be encouraged and equipped to live out your faith in all that you do.
All of creation praises our God, and that early verse that says when we get to see Him face to face, that means without masks, because we get to see Him face to face, right? So, I picked on Beverly before, making a face. What kind of face are you going to make when you meet God? What kind of face is He going to make at you? Hoyer, I don't know if I can take you in here, buddy. I don't know if that's what He's going to say to me. No, the great thing is we can already know what He's going to say, and our idea of coming to Him in wonder and grace and glory, face to face, that's what we do with family members, right? We get together face to face, and we have this acceptance, we have this inclusion. When our four kids get together from way back when they were little, they would take one picture that was nice, you know, that you could send to grandparents, and then they would take another picture where they all had crazy faces. And so every time all four of our kids get together, they do at least one of each of those pictures, or probably a number of each of those pictures. And it's always fun to see those, and it's part of being in a family, right? Face to face. Well, what is the face of hope? What do you think about when you think about a face of hope? Most of the time when we're looking at the news that's out there, it's not typically news that we want to hear. If we just think about the hardships of the last couple of weeks, think about some of the news headings that you've seen. Whether it's Westroads yesterday, whether it's Indianapolis from earlier in the week, whether it's Minneapolis that's waiting for a decision to be made. Maybe it's Portland that's burning. What about other things that are around us? What about our country? What about us sometimes wanting to tell China what they should do with human rights issues or any other country? When in fact we, in America, through Planned Parenthood, kill 1,000 babies a day. $62 million so far. And so when we would maybe ask God to judge some of those other corrupt nations, maybe we have to look at ourselves a little bit. Because sometimes we as Americans, we can kind of get pretty haughty and kind of think we've got it all and it's all good. And God sometimes has to remind us, too, that we, too, need to go by His word and His way and not do just what we've always done. And so we can get pretty uncomfortable at times with His truth, because His truth doesn't just speak to the people over there or the people that should hear it. It also speaks to us. We hear about an equity act in the Congress or in the Senate now that is anything but equity for Christian churches and schools. And yet, if you heard in Psalm 96, real equity comes when Jesus comes to judge. He's going to judge with equity. That's the only equity that there really is ever, right? Now, after all of that great news that I've just told you, what kind of face do you make? I mean, when you listen to the news, in our house, we've pretty much turned off the news. It's bad enough to just read the headlines. And so I want to know what's going on only because I know that in this world we're going to have troubles. So, in fact, I was going to start today's message with reading the Galatians chapter 1. Galatians, here we are. Galatians chapter 1. Listen to this, the two verses. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Right? So far, so good. Right? That sounds like what we a lot of times hear in church. Grace and peace to you from God our Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to deliver us from this present evil age. It's 2,000 years ago when the Romans were in charge and life wasn't always good for them. And we can look back at the other pages in life and it isn't always good for those people in there either. We are not told, we're told actually, that life here is going to have all kinds of difficulties because we have this sinful nature that is ingrained in us and we are stuck with ourselves and people like us. And so to have a face of hope, we have to look somewhere else outside of ourselves to have something other that's going to give us some better news, some different news. So today I want us to look at Psalm 96, but I want us to get a little background from Psalm 96. So Psalm 96, at least all of the commentaries point us to a place in the Old Testament when the Ark of the Covenant, okay, for those of you that maybe aren't familiar with the Ark of the Covenant, in the Old Testament, it was a box that they were told to build. Exodus 25 tells us a little bit about the box that they were supposed to build. It was supposed to be covered in gold, has two cherubim, two angels, right? Maybe if you saw Raiders of the Lost Ark, it's kind of like that, okay? Inside the Ark of the Covenant were three things. There was a jar of manna. It made them remember how God got them through their daily bread needs in the wilderness. There was the Aaron's stick, the staff that they held that budded. So it was a dead thing that resurrected with life. That was inside there. And the tables of the Ten Commandments, those were in there. So all of God's presence, his daily provision, and the way that he protected them was all inside of that box. It was God's presence to the people. And it was meant to be, actually when they camped, it was in the center of their camp. And all of the tribes, all of the people camped around this Ark of the Covenant. But over time, remember how we started the service with, Christ is risen, he's risen indeed, hallelujah. You know, we lose the excitement about Easter. They lost the excitement about their God living with them. And so after time, they weren't really honoring God the way they were supposed to. And the Philistines, the enemies, came in and they defeated the Israelites and they took the Ark of the Covenant away. Now, if you want to read some funny story, if you wanted to look at God's humor, look at 1 Samuel 5, 6, and 7. In fact, that'll be your challenge for next week, right? Look at 1 Samuel 5, 6, and 7. And if you can tell me next week a story of God's humor, I'll be waiting to hear that, okay? But in 1 Samuel 5, 6, and 7, it says that the Ark of the Covenant is stolen, and these enemies take it, and they have it. And in the midst of them having it, there are some hilarious things that happen. And finally, the enemy says, we don't want this anymore. Get it out of here. And so they send it back. It's on the way. And then we go to 1 Chronicles 13 through 17, and it tells us about the Ark coming back. And now it's David, he's king. And as David is king and the Ark of the Covenant is finally coming back to where it should be, David has made a place for it under a tent at Shiloh, and it's coming back. And as this Ark of the Covenant, God's presence, comes back to them, he uses words like Psalm 96. Now think of what it's been like for the last year for many of us who maybe haven't been able to be out at a store, haven't been able to be out to see family, haven't been out to come to church. We just maybe haven't been out. And the first time that you got to see family, or the first time that you came to worship, or the first time that you got to do anything after being closed off for a long time, hopefully it was like this, oh yes, this is, I need this, I got to do this. That's what it would have been like, but magnified for these people because they had been without, they had been dishonoring God, and now they're realizing that they had done that. But as God is bringing that presence back, they're still not getting the whole picture. But David, as he leads them back, does have the whole picture. That not only do we kind of fear before God, tremble before him, but we also are in this awesome presence of a God who saves. So listen to these words of Psalm 96 again, thinking again with that context, and maybe thinking a little bit about us and how we react to the bad news, but maybe what about us and how do we react to the good news? What kind of face of hope do we have when we hear the good news of Jesus? Or have we heard it so often that it's just kind of old hat and we're just used to it? I mean, that's where I don't know about you, but that's where I normally go because we just do. We've heard it a lot. And God is saying, do you really hear what I'm saying? So listen again to Psalm 96. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. 1 Chronicles 16 and 17 will say that David, as he's singing this, he's dancing as he's coming into Shiloh. All right? I didn't see anybody dancing as you came into church. Now, Paul kind of does it when he plays over here. Right? And that's okay. But I didn't see anybody else coming dancing into church saying, oh, yes, we get to go to church. God is so good. Wouldn't that be great? Next week, everybody come prancing in here, right? I don't want to see anybody walking. I want to see everybody kind of just, yes. And people will say, that ain't no Lutheran church over there. I don't know. But anyway, to say, how good is God? Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth, not just the Jewish people, not just those there, but all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless his name, tell of his salvation from day to day. So notice that we're not supposed to keep it secret. But David, as he's bringing back this Ark of the Covenant, he's leading the military, he's leading the procession as they're coming back into town. Think of the scene that this would have been. And as they're coming in, they're thanking God for his presence. And it's proof that God's salvation is still active and alive. That God hasn't forgotten his people. Verse 3, declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous works among all of the peoples. For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods, for all the gods of the peoples are worthless idols. But the Lord made the heavens. What was the name of the song we just sang? Yeah, all of creation. You want to sing that for us over here? You're doing good. I like that. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Ascribe to the Lord, O families and peoples. Ascribe to the Lord the glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth, because he is this holy, awesome God. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Yes, the world is established. It shall never be moved. And he will come and judge the peoples with equity. Let the heavens be glad and let the earth rejoice. Let the sea roar and all that fills it, the field exult and everything in it. Then shall the trees of the forest sing for joy, as we just sang, in all of creation. Before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. He comes to judge the world in righteousness and the people in faithfulness. God comes. Yes, he comes to judge, but the great part is that for us who believe in Jesus Christ, in whom he has worked faith, by Spirit, we don't have to worry about the face we're going to make when we see Jesus. We don't have to worry about it being a face of, oh no, here comes the judgment. We get to say, oh yes, here comes my Savior. He's holding out his hands to me. He's inviting me to jump into those arms that are waiting for me to come, even though I know my past, and he says your past is in fact past. There is nothing you can do about your past. Now, you can do something about your future. You might be able to even do something about your present. But your past is in fact past. That's why we come and honor the God of our salvation, right? Because that already says, I'm saved. What were the three lines that I had you recite after me last week? Anybody remember what the first line was? I believe that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead, right? I believe that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. And if I truly believe that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead, then when I hear the headlines in the news, I can still have hope because God is still the God who raises Jesus, who gives us resurrection. The second line that we said is, I believe that Jesus Christ lives in me. And if I really believe that Jesus Christ lives in me, then that's my salvation, that's my hope. Last week we had Colossians 1, where it said the mystery of God is Christ in us. That's the hope of glory. The third line that we used last week was, I hope that Jesus Christ lives in you. Because it's our job to tell this salvation to all of the world. That's what Psalm 96 is all about. So the question for us today is, how are we going to live 96? How are we going to live this psalm? How are we going to live 96 and live in this expectation of hope that God gives in the midst of difficulties that we experience even now? I can't answer that for you, but that's the question that each of us has to ask ourselves today. Are we going to live as though we're coming into Shiloh with the presence of God right there with us? And so as God comes and says, okay, I'm here, how do we respond to that? Do we come and say, glory be to your name, holy, all of those are nice churchy phrases, right? Praise the Lord, we say those in church, but that should be our everything. But it's not always that way for me. I wish it was. I'd like it to be. But it's just not always that way. And God reminds me that even when I'm not feeling that way, that He is always that way. When I change, He never does. When my unfaithfulness is evident, His faithfulness is always true. So as we come to the Lord in our confession today, I want us to think a little bit about that because isn't that why we're here? We're here to hear the good news of Jesus, and the good news of Jesus is because He's saved people like us, right? We came because we're sinners, and we know that we need a Redeemer, and hopefully we know the Redeemer, and the Redeemer lives in us, because that's what His Word says. So let's confess. The last number of months we've put the confession after the message so that we've heard the Word of God, and we've reflected a little bit on it, and now the question is, how do we take that and put that into action in our life? So in our confession today, what are the ways in which you and I have not praised God for who He is, what He's done? What are the things that we maybe haven't thanked Him for? Anybody breathing today? When was the last time you said, Lord, I just thank you that I'm breathing? That, okay, put your hands up by your neck and you say, okay, I thank you, Lord, that I have a pulse. Look around. Thank you, Lord, that I have eyes. For some of you, I can say, thank you, Lord, that you have a mouth. Some of you, I can't see. But you know you have one, right? Thank God for the gifts he's given you of all of those things. And maybe some of those things, maybe some of you are struggling with those things. Some of you, I know, wear hearing aids, right? And in earlier years, you heard better than what you hear now. And yet, isn't God good that he gives us hearing aids? Isn't God good that he gives us false teeth that I can still chew on some things? Isn't God good that he gives us glasses that we can wear if they're not in our pockets, you know? So we can see better? That God works in all kinds of ways. When was the last time we thanked him for the little things? And then we thank him for some of the bigger things and look at your families that are sitting around you or the people around you or the people that you're thinking of in your heads that you love. And so we come and confession to God and say, you know, Lord, really, there's so many things that I have just neglected to thank you for because I'm a sinful person and I need to know again that you forgive me and love me. And that's why we're here today, to know that he has forgiven and loved us, even in spite of us.